For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Rawr Barlow. Our kind of mess saying, just saying. Megan, you can't have a burger without the burg.
And also our super premium sponsors.
Our lucky little grandhopper, Kelly Grant.
And Lizzie Drucker. She's a fine mother.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous, gorgeous, amazing little Bobalo!
Bobalee!
Ben Mandelker of the V-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. We made it to Friday. How are you?
TGIF, Ben.
That's a great jingle. You should submit that to the restaurant. I am great.
It's just like a really low doorbell. They're like, yeah. We're suddenly not selling anything anymore.
We've decided that our jingle should be a dirge. Let's see how that works with sales. So I'm excited that it's Friday because it's Friday. I'm excited that we're going to be talking about the Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion part two today because I've loved this season. I think it's been great. I think they got their mojo back after a few years stranded in the desert. And so I'm excited to talk about all that. I'm also excited to do some shilling, but this is slightly different shilling. I'm shilling the fact.
New shilling today.
New shilling.
Let's shill for the new shilling. Guys, new listen to today's episode because there will be new shilling.
It's a pre-shilling shill. So we always have our standard rigmarole about buy tickets for Houston and Detroit, etc. On watchwhatcrappens.com. On Monday, we are announcing some new shows. So gird your loins and get ready. We're going to be announcing on Monday, and I believe tickets will be going on sale next Friday. So that's my way of saying you got to tune in on Monday to hear what the new shows are, right?
Yes, and also how badly Kenya fucked up Habitats for Humanity House.
Yeah.
Monday, will we learn that the house built by Kenya fell in on itself the second they left town? Yeah. Find out Monday. Also, we have new live shows.
So we're announcing some new live shows. Right now we have obviously we have our sort of winter spring shows. On Monday we will be announcing summer shows. That was the pre-shill for Monday's shill of Friday's shill.
Shill.
Oh my God. My phone just chilled.
Shill. It sounds like a new member of the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, Shilla. So anyway.
Shilla Nights.
And by the way, as always, to get any tickets, watchwhatcrappens.com. Houston, go get your tickets. And we have an exciting few months ahead of us. Next week, we have our Golden Crappies ceremony, which is going to be so fun. I cannot wait. But today, should we just dive into it? I'm like crazy. I just drank an entire skinny latte,
okay.
And I cannot stop talking.
I love hearing
I'm
our
like,
iCal, you know.
Look, I have a pen. It's from the DirecTV Corporation. It has half the ink left. It still writes well. I recommend it to everyone. No. I also have a mini USB dongle. Anyone.
It's a dongle. I really like hearing our iCal put forth in such a positive manner.
Yeah. The least I can
it do. Works for me. Well, today it's continued. The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Oh my God. I was like, this didn't happen till the end, but then I scrolled up and I had other notes.
So
we didn't finish the entire thing last week.
No.
And don't worry because we get to go over all that stuff again today because they just repeat themselves because it's a reunion. One thing we did go over but didn't mention this part, I don't think, is when they're showing the previously, she goes, "Your husband killed a bear! Eyes, nose, mouth." She's specifying every single part that the husband killed. Like, did he kill them separately, Siggy?
What about the little veal? Okay, you know what about the little veal?
What about the baby
Siggy, the veal. Bring it. Veal. Bring it. Veal. Real house is a Bellevue. Real house is a Bellevue over there. That's what you should be. Bellevue. See what I said? What I did there? You know what? Because you're dressed like Belle, and I've got a view of you right now. Real house is a Bellevue. Also a mental case. Joan.
And we did mention this last week, but when she was saying Real Housewives of Bellevue, because Siggy sent that tweet. We mentioned the tweet, but damn, she was going off in that tweet more than I remembered. Because she's like, maybe I'm Belle, but at least I'm not dressed like the Beast. The Beast whose house is in foreclosure and who's losing money because they're getting sued. I was like, okay, Twitter, why did you make the tweets longer? This is exactly why you don't need to extend the length of tweets, okay?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Siggy. And then Siggy follows up the eyes, nose, mouth accusation by going, like Elma Fudd. Like, you just made her husband the cutest killer of all time.
I know. And Elmer Fudd was notoriously inept as a hunter, so.
I don't think he actually ever shot anything, so thank you for getting PETA off of Marge's ass. Because they're like, oh, her husband's like Elmer Fudd. Well, he's not a worry. He's not.
He's really not a concern for us.
He always misses.
Yeah. So at the end of the last episode, Kim D came out. And, you know, it's funny because they were talking about Kim D and Melissa can't believe that Dolores and Siggy are friends with Kim D. And Andy Cohen does, well, guess what? She's here, which has become like his joke because he's actually done that so much that it doesn't really happen anymore. But in this case, you cry wolf and Kim D does show up. So
she's like, I'm here for your children. Did somebody cry, children? Wolf.
Did somebody cry, lizard? Huh? I'm here.
I'm gonna
puff.
Hey,
Teresa.
I'm gonna huff. I'm gonna puff. I'm gonna clink this house down. Okay? That's what I say. You're all frauds. Okay?
And Teresa's like, I guess they let the animal out of the cage. I'm like, you're one to talk. Okay? You were literally in jail. You were literally an animal in jail.
And Marge is like, did they let the baby veal out of the cage? Because that's the one I'm worried about. It's poor veal. Baby veal. What about the baby veal?
The veal. What about the baby veal in the cage? Okay? You know what? You know, I don't want to hear about how Kim D is an animal. You know what? You know who's an animal? The veal in the cage. Literally an animal. A little veal. What about the veal, Kim D?
I have to say, I think your Marge has finally hit the perfect score at the very last recap of the season.
Well, I've learned from you because I was always doing this. And then I know that you were really obsessed with the part of her voice.
Yeah, she's got kind of an on the back of her voice.
Exactly. So I was like, how can I merge both of them together? And like, it's a combination of like, you have to like do the Marge, you have to do all of the Marge. So you have to make your face look like you're blowing hot tea to cool it down. You got to stick your head back so your head goes maximum bubble voice, like, yeah. And you got the face going, like, and like the Marge voice just works when you do it like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to like get that Muppet part in the voice, but then
what's going on here, Roddy? I mean, it's like how hard does the Marge have to work?
That's
to get
so good, but I sound like I'm gurgling Dorinda.
Well, because you're doing you're stuck in the Dorinda mode. Because you're like, hey, Roddy. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm
you see,
that's...
it goes into the back of my teeth. You know, it's a very difficult thing.
You gotta go back here like this, not a
but then that starts to sound like Sheena to me. But you know what?
Well, Sheena's very close. Sheena's on that spectrum. That's a new spectrum for us, actually. The frog in the throat spectrum. This is Sheena. This is classic match.
Sheena. And then a lot of people on Summer House have that too, like Lindsay.
And also, it's become our default gay voice. We've turned every gay man into everything.
Yeah, well, the gays are like, yes, everything. You're right. They're there, but they're like at the top of the throat.
Okay, here's a way into it. Do yes, everything, except instead of doing the gay, inflection, turn it into Jersey inflection.
Yes, everything.
Classic merch. See, because classic merch is dead here.
Yours went to perfect, and mine went from decent to just terrible, just non-existent.
Well, the more we analyze mine, it's the more it's going to like go off the rails.
Because
by the end of this episode, I'll be like, classic merch!
It's classic merch, Lisa.
Lisa, I'm terribly sorry, but this is the veal, Lisa. What about the veal?
The fuck is this fraud saying? She's a fraud. Listen to that voice, this fraud. What are you, from England, Switzerland, Norwegian cruise lines. Like, what the hell? So, now Kim D comes out. I didn't notice this last week, but she got her own chair. Do you know how rare that is? Like, I think it's like one of those charging pads for an iPhone, you know, or for a phone, where they're just like, she needs her own separate charging pad. Because then she sits down, and she sits down kind of sideways into the chair with, like, there's like wood on her back now. So she's like, creak. All right, what is this with fucking Teresa? And I'm like, that's why she doesn't get up. Like, once she's down, that's it. She's on the charging pad.
It reminded me of the plastic throne that Magneto sits in. You know, when they finally capture him, he sits on a little clear plastic thing, and he's just, like, locked in there. That's what Kim D is on. She's like Magneto, except her special power isn't magnets. It's just throwing terrible fashion shows. All right, I'm turning this reunion into a terrible fashion show. There, I said it. Clink, 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 clink.
Yeah, there was a lot of clink, clinking, because after she sits down sideways and her power comes on, and Tree's like, you want to take a jab at my fucking nerds? I take a jab at you, huh? Blink, blink. And Kim D's like, bitch, you mess with me, you go straight back to prison. And Tree goes, okay. I was like, are you agreeing with her? This is where Teresa's just so angry that she doesn't even make, not that she makes a lot of sense, not angry. So Kim's like, clink. And then Tree's like, yeah, you better bet your ass I'm on probation, bitch. Clink, clink. I'm like, now you're bragging.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm confused.
And Kim D's like, I was asked to be here.
Bitch.
And then they're like, they're fully like arguing and bickering, and they cut to Andy, and he's rolling his eyes like, oh my God, these women won't shut up. I'm like, you orchestrated this, Andy.
Yes, okay? Sir. It's like if the conductor of an orchestra is just like, oh God, I'm so mortified to be playing the Sugar Plum Fairies again. It's like, this is your fault, sir.
Yeah. By the way, my next note is Kim D in her own chair. So see, we really think alike.
I couldn't believe it. And it was like one of those Meemaw dining room chairs that's like fabric covered, but it's still like got four little rollers. They're like, the rollers on the bottom of Kim D's chair.
I think basically what happened was a PA went across the street to get an order of Starbucks for everyone. And they're like, oh my God, Kim D's in Starbucks. Should we invite her over? Yeah. Do we have a chair? We found one by the dumpster. Let's bring it in.
She said she'll only come one time today. Let's just roll her. She'll only get up one time today. So let's roll her down in this chair from Starbucks.
Hello, ladies.
Clink, clink. And then Teresa's like, clink, clink. And she's like, clink, 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 clink. Clink, 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 clink. Like, okay, UT, now you sound like a Coinstar machine. Just be quiet.
Yeah. So we get a montage of Kim D's greatest hits for the season, which was great. I love it. You know, Kim D is an awful person, but gosh, she really warms my heart whenever she appears on screen. It's like so wonderful. When she shows up, you're like, oh, it's Kim D. I love it.
She does. She's like proud of who she is, and I like that. It's like cockroaches, you know? They're like, yes, I'm sitting on your countertop eating something. So what? I was invited here, you bitch. It's like, okay.
I believe Teresa called her a cockroach, although the way Teresa says, she's like a cockroach, you know?
Cockroach. Like cockroach. Yeah, it's like a breed of dog. A cockroach.
She's a mad damn. So was it worth it for Dolores and Siggy? Was it worth it for you guys to walk in the show? And they're like, yeah, it was, whatever.
Well, listen, Andy, okay? This is why I did it. He's like, okay, Dolores. She's like, two children died that day, okay? Two children were lit on fire in a car, okay? That's why I was there. It was for children who were burnt in Mercedes, Andy. It's a new charity. It's like, wait a minute. I think you're
families
making the sound.
Children who were incinerated in cars. It's like that YouTube video of the guy who jumped into a flaming car.
Don't make me laugh about someone who's really dead. Not that those guys aren't really dead, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I have to mention
it.
Right before
right, Andy.
I mean, look, if anybody is feeling anything for people on this show right now, you're not paying attention anyway. Okay. I'm getting that. Okay, Andy. I'm sick of talking about it. We're not gonna talk about it. I don't give a shit about you. But we forgot this part right before the montage. Kim goes, well, at least she learned how to spell my website because it's been getting hits. I'm like, okay, you shouldn't say that on this show, especially considering what that fashion show was for. And then Tree's like, yeah, it means piece of shit, cocoa every day. And then Kim goes, yeah, because I had to be a whore. And then they just show Teresa and Melissa's faces like, blink, blink, uh-oh. Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah. My site's getting hits. So So Teresa starts talking about how Kim D has a track record, a bad track record in her life. And Kim D's like, you're the only one who goes through friends like underwear, honey. I have friends since I was 8 years old.
I'm still friends with Mrs. Roosevelt.
I'm like, I don't know what to deconstruct from that. Like, you go through friends like underwear, honey.
They're all up her ass. How much underwear? Like, they're either up her ass or she doesn't wear them. Like, that's actually a perfect way to put it, Kim.
Yeah, well, Teresa says Kim D talks out of her ass, and Kim D goes, no, you talk out of your ass. And Andy's like, well, I'm going to talk out of my ass for once. I'm like, listen, you guys are all playing to your strengths. This is great.
He turns around and does a Jim Carrey and literally starts asking questions out of his ass. Like, wow.
He's right, like, I'm finally being taken seriously as a journalist.
He's like, finally, I was nominated for a BAFTA. Just kidding. It's like a British TV award. Okay.
Well, Brits do have a wacky sense of humor. Well, I did like that ode to Mr. Bean that Andy Cohen did. Like, it was Jim Carrey. Well, I don't know. It seemed more Mr. Beanish to me. Yeah. Approved.
Approved. So Kim's like, you got through friends like underwear. And Tree goes, oh, yeah? How long have I been friends with Dolores? Ask her. It's like, stop. And then Andy started to talk too, because Teresa wouldn't stop blinking and going, ask her. So he starts going, hey, ask her. Like, stop it. It's like the worst. It's like a pinball machine of stupid. Just stop.
In other news, Teresa hasn't bought new underwear in 20 years. My point remains. So we learned that Kim D paid Dolores and Siggy. They each got $1,000. And Teresa starts rolling her eyes.
That's how much she raised. They said, Teresa's like, what did you even raise for your stupid charities? And she's like,
I thought it was paid.
Oh, no, they raised a grand each or something. Because then later she said, I raised $3,000. And they're like, what is that? Melissa's like, what is that? A shady accountant's is? And she's like, well, I had to pay for food.
That makes those much
dresses,
sense.
Yeah, those dresses all had pit stains after, so there's that. Who's going to wear them after that, you know? I can't believe I'm defending myself over charity. It's disgusting.
Like, oh, it's disgusting. You know what I realized what it was? I think Teresa said, how much did each of you guys get? And in my mind, I'm thinking, how much did they get to appear? And what it probably was how much did you guys raise? So that's why I was like, why is she like bragging about how much she gets paid to do a charity event? I was so confused.
She's like, well, we had pay to plays. Like these extensive posh contracts.
So Melissa and Teresa are like, oh, that's disgusting. Ruin a man's family. But that's disgusting. Talk about a fundraiser. And Andy just smiles. And they cut to Danielle Staub just seething, just staring her down. Like, I'm going to have my moment. I'm going to have my moment soon. I will.
Yeah. She's like, I can't wait to say how Christine is not over this yet. Whatever the daughter is not
Christine.
Over it.
Christine.
Yeah. Like, I cannot wait to tell her. And Tariq goes, oh yeah, to ruin families. And Kim goes, your family's not ruined. And she goes, oh yeah, my kids don't need that, okay? And she goes, well, my kid didn't need your shit either, Teresa. So there it is, okay, clank. And Melissa goes, now look, I'm going to be nice because, you know, I'm Melissa. So, you know, would you admit that you like to stir the pot? She's like, yeah, especially when the soup is made out of criminals, all right? Give me that kind of soup. It's a criminal soup.
Criminal chowder, huh? Long Island criminal chowder. So, so Melissa's saying that basically...
Long Island criminal.
I like that. So, Kim D's, but the best is the way Kim D is like so proud of it. She's like, yes, I do go below the belt. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's what I do. And Kim and Andy's just like grinning. I mean, Andy is just cracking up the way we are. At this point, it's not even his Svengali grin. He's just like, I can't believe this bitch is on this reunion saying this. Like, Kim D is crazy, right? Like, you know, because Kim D is like, yes, will I murder someone? Yes. If I have a right to, yes, I'll do that.
And she goes, you hurt my children. And Tree goes, all right, yeah, what did my children do to deserve to hear those names? And she's like, look, All I said was that I thought you were having sex with another person.
Well, I thought you were seeing someone. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Clink, clink.
You're fucking a baby Joe with an eyebrow wax, Teresa. Like, who do you think you're kidding here? And she's like, oh, yeah? Find me, Tales from the Crypt. Find me, Tales from the Crypt. I'm like, wait a minute. Now are you Nemo or the Tales from the Crypt? Where are we now, Teresa? She's just, like, flipping through a fucking TV schedule at this point, a TV guide.
And Melissa's like, is this who you want to be? And Kim D's like, well, I don't want to be a fraud like these two. I don't want to be a fraud like these two.
And then Teresa, oh, really? Frauds are these? What about your 1099s and your W-2s this, huh? I'm like, okay, now Teresa knows every kind of paperwork
ever. Yeah, exactly. I have two businesses. I have Posh Boutique, and I also have, I also sell birdhouses on Etsy.
Oh, yeah? You got LLCs, huh? S-Corps, huh? Corporate it is, yeah.
What do you know about LLC, huh? What do you know about her?
Is it the
prostitution company you have? The prostitution company. I like that. It's like public storage. It's like 1-800-PROSTITUTE.
I was leave laughing off so hard at this. And you're totally... leave off the last S.
1-800-PROSTITUTE. P-R-O-S-T-I-T-U. That's all that fits in the number. Hi, I'm Kim D. Welcome to the prostitution company. Here you get to learn all the basic techniques of how to be a good prostitute and how to pimp out a good prostitute. Join me on a 7-day course and you'll learn all the basics from shoes to attitude. I'll teach it all to you. Here, me, Kim D.
So like you said, Andy is just like us. He's just cracking up watching this. And Teresa's like, wait a minute. She does that squeal thing. And then she goes, how do you pay for your Mercedes? How do you pay for your house that it is? How do you pay your rent at Posh? Well, did I mention my 1-800-PROSTITA line?
Call 1-800-PROSTITUTA and ask for Kim D. I'll give you the special prostitute company discount.
Everyone's shocked because they're like, wait, what's a prostitution company?
Like, wait, but wait, there's more. Call now and you'll get a free pussy bow top from Posh Boutique.
And a zoodla. It's always random shit. You get it.
So. Meet Trinice. Trinice was just an average girl, and now she's the best prostitute in all of Northern Bayonne. She went to the prostitution company, and she learned from the best, and so could you. Take it from me, I'm Kim D.
Well, the best reaction is Kim's, because she goes, prostitution company, and Andy goes, oh my god! And then Teresa's just like, blink, 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 and then they cut to Kim, and she's like, taking off invisible crumbs from her lap.
That's her favorite move. I'm going to deflect. I'm going to show that these crumbs are more important than you. Prostitution Company 101. This is how you get your John. Brush those crumbs off, girls. Brush them off. Clink, clink.
Oh, my God. So Kim goes, we go to commercial, and then we come back. And he's like, so, do you have a prostitution company? Do you have bagels? What's included in this company? And Kim's like, you know, that word gets thrown around a lot in this franchise, Andy. And he's like, okay, are you saying she has a bordello, you guys?
And that's Teresa's Intriga. Like, yeah, you said.
Well, he actually said, are you saying she's a madam? And so he says the exact word, and Teresa goes, yeah, she's a madam, a man.
Matt Damon.
She's a manatee. A manatee dumb. She's a dumb man.
Matadam.
He's like, I literally just said the word.
Madam Mitzvahs.
Madagascar's. So, and she's like, that charity was for somebody in cars. So, Andy goes, so are you a madam? And she goes, you know what? No, I'm not Auntie, but I would be proud. If I was a madam, I'd be proud of it. And he goes, I could actually see that.
I'd crack that whip. I'd crack that whip.
And who
Listen,
cares?
If you want to get a good grade at the prostitution company, you're going to get that whip cracked on you, okay?
You know, if I was a madam, Danielle wouldn't have had to be so upset about being called a prostitution whore. She could have taken home a paycheck that night. You know, my girls are all covered by the healthcare industry, Andy. Okay? Tell your friends.
Oh, she would make a great madam. Oh,
she
man.
Would.
She'd really be so would. Good. Like, if prostitution ever becomes legal, I'd be like, Kim D really will be the best.
Yeah. So, and she knows it, you know, and he's like, wow, that's actually a spinoff that might work. And
you know what's.
She goes, at least I don't steal from people. And she goes, I never stole nothing from nobody. And she goes, that's not what I know.
I love how she knows stuff. I've been talking to people. They say you stole. I know. I saw.
So good. You, your husband, her husband, they steal. And then she's like, crumbs on the dress, crumbs on the dress.
Nah, 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 Teresa. You know, I can sort of imagine, this just came to me. This is, maybe it's the coffee speaking. Mm. Remember in Jurassic Park when Dennis Nedry, a.k.a. Newman from Seinfeld, when he like shuts down the computer so he can steal the dinosaur embryos, and they try to like hack into his computer to like reset the system, and his face comes up and he goes, no, 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 you didn't say the word. I was like, Kim D would be the perfect dinosaur saboteur.
Girl, she could just pop up. She could just pop up.
No, no, no. You didn't say the word.
Yeah, she could pop up whenever your password is wrong on the phone. You know, like when your touch ID doesn't work. She could be like, no, that's not what I know.
That's not the password I heard. Did you forget your password? Are you a robot? Click here if you're not a robot. Okay, you're not a robot. Fine.
That's not what I know. Just
Kim D, the difference with Kim D and Dennis Nedry is that Kim D would both be the dinosaur saboteur and the dinosaurs, you know? Because she's the one who shows up. It's like, he's like, oh, hey, little dinosaur. She's like, and then just like all of a sudden hair fangs and just like spits poison on someone.
Yeah. She'd be the dinosaur that just eats itself. They're like, wait, how did that T-Rex eat its own head off? This is crazy.
Hey, are there any children in this kitchen? That's what I heard.
That's what I know.
Did someone drop? Hey, someone dropped a ladle over there. I bet there's children over there. Clink, clink goes the ladle on the floor.
And Melissa goes, get my husband's name out of your mouth. How? His name is Joe. It's like you can't just stop saying Joe in New Jersey. Like, you won't be able to talk to half the population.
She's like, Kim, be gone. Be gone.
You'll be gone. That's not what I know.
And Teresa's like, you're all fucking dried up because you're the homewrecker. Eh. I'm like, see, now you're just doing what she did. So everything you just said was bullshit because you, by the way, the queen of calling people homewreckers is Teresa. So, you know, let's just like. Have a seat, please.
Yeah, she's going to have an apology scene with Kim's kid in the next couple of years.
So
then they try and go lower, but, you know, Kim's one of those that can do the worst things but still always find a way to be the victim, which is so funny. So Melissa goes, you're just so jealous of my husband. Like, he wouldn't fuck you if you were the last whore on earth. I'm like,
That's not what I know.
That's not what I know. Guess what? I am the last whore on earth.
I'm both the employee and the boss. The prostitution company. Work for yourself. So
Tree goes, oh, yeah, and then you were saying something about a boyfriend. What about your boyfriend? Your stupid boyfriend. And she says something, and Kim D goes, he passed away. And I left that guy left his wife the year we started dating, Teresa. And how dare you say something like that about the dead?
So then Siggy just does this thing like a so Andy's like, okay, Siggy, what's going on in your mind? She's like, I just want peace. That's all I wanted. I just want peace, okay? It's like, there can't be this yelling. You have to stop yelling, and you have to be able to talk to each other. And so then Melissa's like...
She's praying. What? She's like doing signs of the cross, or whatever. She's signs of the cross. Sorry, that was the wrong thing. But she's like looking up and like praying and stuff. Like, come on, Siggy.
And Melissa's like, Well, unfortunately, Siggy, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And Siggy's like, too soon, too soon. And Siggy's like, oh, is that have to do with me and Margaret? And they just cut to Marge. She goes, ah, hello.
And then Siggy's response to that, she goes, oh, well, when she's still going through it, she goes, Melissa goes, do I have a right to be mad at Kim D? And she, or Siggy goes, yes, but the community is small, okay? This community we live, it's a tiny little village on top of a Christmas snow slope at a Hallmark greeting card store. There's 6 degrees of separation. Instead of yelling, let's talk.
Like, what? Are you, you've been yelling this whole time?
And the entire time.
Yeah, she's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And she goes, it takes two to tango. Okay, what are you guys going to just fight each other with, like...
cliche fight? Yeah. That's not how the cookie crumbles. Well, don't cry over spilled milk.
Waste not what not. A bird in the hand.
Good work if you can get it. Let's not beat around the bush.
If you were thinking of pooping in my bathroom, you can take a seat.
So then it's like, well, what if Kim D said, you know, like you're really defending Kim D, Siggy, but what if Kim D was going around saying that Michael Campanella cheats? And Kim D's like, Michael Campanella doesn't. Oh, sorry, that is the Siggy voice.
It's hard because they're similar in a way. She just doesn't have the wine, but she has the deep, dark voice.
She has the deep, Michael Campanella doesn't cheat. That's not what I heard.
And she's like, so, okay, so, and then Melissa's just trying to make sense of shit. Melissa's so stupid. She still doesn't know what any words mean, you know? And Andy's like, one last thing, Kim. And Kim goes, listen, Andy, I'm not a troublemaker, okay? The evil, it's my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion.
In a weird way, I've actually found that, like, everything Kim D has said, it may be despicable, but it's also kind of like, I feel like she actually backs it up. You know,
it's
she's like, well, this is
true,
what I heard.
Right?
It's kind of,
true.
She's always kind of been like, this is what I heard. Are you going to kill me for this? I'm just saying it. I mean, she's tasteless and crass and awful, but she's, I actually don't feel like, it's not necessarily that she's wrong. She's just saying, I heard this, you know,
yeah,
but she's just
season,
not polite.
Teresa, the guy Teresa's cheating with is going to have a job at Posh.
So Andy's like, well, Kim D, it's always special. Thanks for coming by. Like, ah, what about Danielle's? What about Danielle's over here? Which yeah. just shows how much Andy hates Danielle.
And also how much Tree controls things. She's like, wait a minute, we're not done.
Yeah.
What about Danielle? She's got something to say. She's like,
Danielle's
oh,
grudge is not good. It's a bad good. One.
He goes, oh, okay, yeah, okay. So Danielle, he takes orders. He, like, takes orders from Teresa. He's like, okay, yeah. So remember that time you got your hair pulled mm-hmm. by Jacqueline's kid at the thing? And she's, and yeah. then Kim goes, yeah. I had no idea Ashley was going to pull her hair.
She's a little monster. She wouldn't even be allowed inside the prostitution company. Application denied.
And Danielle goes, why didn't you get involved? Why didn't you intercede? And she goes, I was grabbing at Teresa's back to try and hold her back. How is that not interceding? Look, if anybody needs to ask for less seed in them, it's you, Danielle, okay? She's like, were we friends for real? Or were you just using me to be on the show? I was like, oh my God. Is that directed at Melissa? Man.
Yeah, and by the way, there was a flashback, and you see that Kim D was trying to pull back Ashley and everything. And that was vintage Kim D before the extensions, when she had pure hair fangs, you know, like they would really just Kim darting out.
Yes.
And so Kim D's like, you know, we were friends, Danielle, but you make it hard. You know, you're so full of judgment, you need so much. You make it hard, Danielle. So I had to stop being your friend. Danielle's like, you know when Danielle, before she's angry, she does a sing-songy thing? She tries to be the higher road. She's like, I just don't know why you had to hurt me that way.
And you also know when Kim D has a point, because Danielle kind of backs down. Because Kim D does it in this way that's like threatening, like she's the head of the mafia or whatever. And she goes, you know the thing about you, Danielle? You just need to learn to let go, okay? You get uptight about things that you shouldn't, and then you don't let go. So you need to learn to let go of those things. Okay. And he's like, and Danielle's like, I'm not going to say anything to that. I will just be quiet now. I hate Dolores more. She's like, okay, Andy, bye. Will someone roll this chair off for me? Or what?
I gotta do this. And then she does this strange, like, I just shat my pants walk off the stage. Like, her chest is a little forward. It was great. I was actually, I was sad. I was sad to see her go.
I was sad too, and especially because I don't think we ever called out the most amazing thing she did in that original fight with the catering chairs. Where Therese is like, ah! She's like going to flip over chairs. And then Kim walks away and she's like, I don't have to deal with people like you. And she starts like stabbing at the air with her water bottle.
Squirt, squirt.
Yeah, it's like her Star Wars. I don't have to deal with you. Like, yes, Star Wars fighting with a water bottle. I love you, Kim D. Never leave me.
So once Kim D left, we had like a little Siggy montage about, you know, her kids and her family. And like we saw the Boca thing, like, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Shoshana. Will Siggy ever write again? And she goes, well, right now I'm writing a book called Divorce Done Right. And another one about bullying. It's for children. It stars a talented girl named Joan, who's followed by another girl who insists on writing tales about books or about pigs. And she's like, the pigtails, okay? They're not tales about pigs.
The mean girls have pigtails, and they make fun of one girl for having beautiful long hair and a lovely son named Joshua.
They're so jealous of this girl, this 5-year-old girl, who's got the best husband who would never cheat on her, and the best life and the best house. She's the most talented child in the entire world.
And now she has pellets, so she's hornier than ever. Like, Siggy. So a very pressing question was asked. I'm glad it was asked. Why do you always call Michael Campanella by his full name? She's like, he has a vowel at the end. It rolls off the tongue. I love it. Michael Campanella.
And Melissa says, yeah, because, you know, she likes the Italian sound because she likes being Italian. There's an A at the end. And Marge just gives her a look like, I could say that that's an A that she didn't get from going to college to learn how to be a therapist, which she's not. But I'm not going to say it because, you know what? Guess what? Classic Marge has turned a corner, okay?
I'm just, I can't. Like, if Joan were here, she'd just like, eviscerate him right now. That's what I know Joan would do. But you know what? I'm just going to sit here and just think about that little veal. The little veal who died to have this moron talk about a book about bullying. She talks about bullying and she eats little veal. It's little veal. What about the little veal?
What about the little veal?
What about the little veal?
All right, Andy, I'm going to be writing a book. It's about Joan Rivers playing a baby veal, okay? And, like, the injustices that she went through, okay? So Siggy's like, oh, I might just move to Boca. There's so many Siggies in the foyer, which nobody better mention right now. And Siggy goes, I just want to, you know, I want to retire with Michael Campanella. He enjoys me, Auntie. It's nice to be with people who enjoy me. Even when I stop talking, he goes, it's quiet. Who are you? And Andy goes, when do you stop talking? Like, when? When is
never.
That?
Never. So then there's like talk about Siggy's empowerment conference, etc. I mean, there was talk about how she was she's hornier with the pellets, but I think we get the picture. So we talk about the empowerment conference, and the question is kind of like, you know, you have this whole thing about empowerment, and yet you have a plastic surgeon there. How is that empowering? Isn't that like telling women their bodies are not good enough? And she's like, no. Plastic surgery makes you happy. If you want to look a certain way, if it gives you happiness to have bigger boobs, then that's what plastic surgery does. And Melissa's like, well, if you can afford it. Listen, everyone has a credit card. I'm like, oh my God. That is the most ridiculous thing to say.
She's like a Capital One commercial.
I know.
Just
what's in your chest? What's in your lips?
What's in your palate today? And Melissa thinks she's like standing for the poor people. She's like, well, you can only say that, you know, to the people that can afford it, right, poor people? I'm like, you're trying to sell poor people backpacks from Italy, okay? So yeah. Shut up over there, Melissa.
Yeah, you have a place called Envy, okay? So why don't you like let that happen? So Marge, like, what do you think about Siggy's advice? I think her advice is very valid. I just wish you would take some of it once in a while. You get that little that was a little ironic turn of phrase there, you know. It's funny. It was a classic Marge. I mean, really, Okay, it was not the best, Joan. Okay, I apologize. Just get to the edge of it. Anti-Semitism stuff. I'm really gonna go on fire there. I can't. Like, literally, the anti-Semitism. Real Housewives of Bellevue. Oh, did you hear my joke from last week? Real Housewives of Bellevue. Bellevue. This one. You know what? You should audition for the Real Housewives of Bellevue. Emphasis on Bell. Got it. Classic Joan's back.
Your dishes sing to you. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ziggy's like, you know, Andy, she just doesn't like me. And for anyone to call me unpassionate, unloving, unfallible, undoable, unmistakable, unmitigated. I'm like, okay, we get it. You're on an unrave. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay, enjoy it and wrap it up.
So now things start to ramp up here. It's our first big flare up between the two of them for this episode. So Siggy comes at Marge because Marge basically says, like, yeah, if you look like an asshole, you act like an asshole. You're an asshole. You're just an asshole, you know, in a Belle costume. And so Siggy's like,
"With this fart, there's an asshole." Okay.
But there's a fart, there's an asshole, and guess what? There's a lot of past gas lingering in that area. You know what I'm saying?
Clouds around you, the pig pen. Okay, classic show. That was classic show right there.
So he says, well, how many lawsuits do you have? And we learn that Marge is being sued for $9.4 million by Vineyard Vines. And Marge is like, because they're both, I don't know why I thought this was so funny. I think it's because it's like in the wake of the veal stuff, she's like, well, we're both doing a whale. Okay. We've both been doing a whale for a long time. Okay. For many years. And we both have a whale. And that's what it is. And Siggy's like, do you have a whale here? Where's the Vineyard Vines whale? Where's the whale?
Yeah, she goes, everything I teach my kids, not to be, that's what Marge is, a cheater, a liar, where's the whale?
Your dress, Belle. Get it? See what I did there? Bellevue callback. Joan taught me how to do a callback. That's why I'm more of a Joan than you are. We never discussed that, Andy. I'm more of a Joan. Can we agree that I'm more of a Joan Rivers than she is? Because stupid bitch over here. I can't deal with this asshole.
I love when she said, under your dress, Belle, and then Siggy goes, I know, I brought it. I'm like, what?
You brought the Vineyard Vines whale?
You brought the whale under your dress? Do you even know what you're talking about anymore over there? Where's your whale from Vineyard Vine Farms of Vineyards? I'm like, what?
And fuck you, Vineyard Vines. You don't get to own whales.
Yeah. Jonah's suing you, okay? Jonah.
Blue Planet 2 is suing you.
Pinocchio just got thrown up out of a whale again, and he's suing you even.
Vineyard Vines is like, I'm sorry, Pinocchio does not represent Nantucket, so we're going to have to sue this whale right now.
Yeah, Marge is like, well, thankfully, the seahorse people aren't as aggressive, you know?
We do a whale, we do a seahorse, we do a starfish, we do a jellyfish, occasionally we'll do a sea urchin, we'll do a Portuguese man of war.
I love that. And she's like, oh, it's very common here to just get sued. You know, it's part of the industry, okay? Like, you use a whale, and then it's, you know, you get sued for it, and then you're like, what do I care? I'm Joan Rivers. Like, what the fuck do I care? The whole point is saying fuck you to the audience. You know what I'm saying, Andy? And,
Yeah, I mean, they'll sue anyone. I mean, they're practically suing the estate of Herman Melville. Okay, guess what, Vineyard Vines? You can't have Moby Dick. Okay, you can try as much as you want, but guess what? You're not going to have it. Just relax, all right? It's ridiculous already, okay? Like, you know, Moby Dick, how about this? How about Vineyard Vines is a dick? How about that? You know who else is a dick? Siggy. Siggy, you might as well be a big white whale, you know, being a dick to everyone. And we're all ships. Am I losing my way in this? Where's the spirit of Joan? Joan?
Because I've lost more money than she's ever even made. I'm like, wait a minute. That's like a Judas
like
brag right there.
Did you lose $10 once?
That's just a Judas brag. Like, do you know how much I lost this week? Hey, shut up. Who cares? Like, what do I care? I've lost more than that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Macbeth collection. So what's the best advice that Siggy's dad ever gave her? Siggy's like,
so odd.
She's like, when I was a little girl, I was hyperactive. I got trouble in school, and they said, we want to put you on Ritalin. And then my dad walked in and said, no Ritalin for her. And he said, guess what? People might not always get you, but never change. You got to be you, and no Ritalin for you. And that's how I am!
I know, it's like one of those religions that don't allow their babies to have medicine, and then they grow up to be crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You got to give your baby, if your baby needs Ritalin, I'm just kidding. Ritalin's a hardcore drug, but... Part of it is like, yeah, Siggy, you kind of, maybe you should go back on it. Maybe let's revisit this with your dad.
Yeah, let's revisit. Yeah. Maybe,
like,
yeah.
He said the people who love you without medication love you. The people who don't love you will get their houses burnt down eventually. But you know what? They earned it.
So does that mean she's going to pull the pellets out of her ass? Because last time I checked, she's medicated.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Good pellet burn.
Yeah, pellet burn.
And he's like, well, since Marge hates Siggy, hey, Marge, what's the last advice your dad gave you? And she goes, he said not to spend your last dollar on lipstick, Andy.
No, I thought that was – I thought Marge Sr. said spend your last dollar on lipstick.
Oh, I thought she said spend it. Well, then never mind. I quit.
It was the mother, and she said spend it on the lipstick. Spend it on the lipstick, Andy.
I'm out. Spend I'm it. Done with you. Who says that to another person?
So then there's this montage of like, oh, look at the parents. Yay. So we see this cute montage of the parents because they're all cute and nice. And then they're sort of talking about it. And Andy turns to Teresa and he's like, so, Tree, any chance of getting Marge Sr. together with your dad? I'm like, this poor man is like grieving, you know? And like, you can see Teresa is like, what the fuck? Why would you ask me that? I know you were making it, but it's like, and she's like,
too sensitive.
Yeah. So then we get an update.
So Siggy, someone emailed and asked, how come your parents are so nice and you're a nightmare? And she's like, I was born in a bomb shelter. I was born and then the war stopped. It's like, you are literally Cuckoo Bird. You're one of the craziest fucking people who's ever been on here. Please never leave. Okay.
She was born with the spirit of the Six-Day War in her. Is that something to brag about? So we do get an update on Dina Manzo, because there was that crazy robbery that she was part of, home invasion, which sounds awful and traumatic, where people broke in, beat her up, and took her engagement ring. And Andy's asking Teresa about it. He's like, ugh, ew,
gross. Ugh. Is she ugly now?
But yeah, that's like, that's scary. That's scary. I hope Dina Manzo is not too troubled.
Teresa's
that's like
so fucking full of herself. Andy goes, Teresa, you're still friends with her, aren't you? And she goes, yeah, Andy, I just talked to her last week. And he goes, what happened? And she goes,
well, it was the day of Adriana's communion. I'm like, okay.
Okay, well, let's not all forget to congratulate Teresa while we're talking about Dina Manzo getting punched in the face by a burglar. It's like, glad you could find time to make this about yourself, Teresa. Okay.
Exactly. So then we move on to the Dolores and Frank segment of like, what's Dolores going to do? Frankie's out of the house, but Frank is still in the house. So learn that Dolores and David are still together. Yes.
He's like, hey, Dolores, Betunia from Biloxi Blues wants to know, do you have any self-respect? I mean, what the fuck is wrong with you? And she goes, self-respect? I have countertops. That's what I have. And I'm proud of it. Okay?
It's countertop, and there's like a lot of dried pasta on there. He's like, does that mean cocaine? Because I was just watching Vanderpump Rules. And by the way, we should mention here...
Also mention it on Vanderpump Rules. We'll mention it now that you got me all excited about pasta.
We didn't realize that pasta was code for cocaine when we did our recap, and everyone's been tweeting at us. But you know what, though? I'm okay with that, because I thought it was hilarious that they were talking about actual pasta. And then when they talk – to know that's a code word, it's not as funny anymore.
I don't think it's a code word. But
You think it is pasta? It is about pasta?
I think they're literally talking about pasta, because –
that's the thing, because this is the sort of show
– Vanderpump Rules. I feel like they would have – they wouldn't say pasta, because who on this show eats pasta? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they would come up with something else.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like it could actually be pasta, because they never eat carbs. So the fact that they finally decided they're going to eat carbs, that's like a special thing for them. And then this girl was like, oh, my God, I'm being crazy. I'm going to have pasta. And you know that they were like, it's on the house. So she's like, oh, my God, a free plate of carbs. And then someone else ate it. That's enough to anchor a season of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes,
so.
I think it was really literally about pasta, because Lala said something like, she offered us some pasta. It sounded like she offered it and then they ate it all, which does sound kind of like Coke, right? But Raquel would know not to offer Lala and Logan her Coke. Like, I mean, Raquel's stupid, but it's not like any of this cast is new to the world of cocaine, you know?
And they are smart enough not to take Coke from Raquel. So it works both ways. They're like, Raquel, that's like grated cheddar.
Oh, so good.
She actually offers them actual pasta.
Her Ascina would say, case closed.
So Dolores says that she and David are still together, but does not sound good. She's like, well, taking it day by day, which to me is always bad. And Siggy's already saying things like, well, I have plenty of guys lined up in Boca if it doesn't work, which means it's definitely not going to work out.
Yeah, she's going to try and get a spinoff in Boca with her friend with the mansion and whoever. And so Andy's like, do you think you're ever going to get back with Frank? And she's like, you know what, Andy, to be honest, I feel like we're not even apart. Like, I mean, it's like we've been married forever. And he goes, but do you have sex? She's like, no, like I said, it's like we've been married forever. Like, he comes into my room. He calls me fat. He makes me go to gym at 7:30 in the morning. It's like he's the best roommate ever. I don't even have to fuck the guy. Like,
yeah, he comes in my room. He says, you gained weight. Let's go to the gym. I'm like, okay, I guess I gained weight. You know, there's all that pasta on the countertop. I couldn't stop making it. It's like pasta every day. But you know what, though? I got new countertops. I got new cabinets. You know, Boo's still dead, which is sad. And Frankie's gone off to Sacred Heart, and I don't have Frankie anymore. But Maz, he's like, come on, you got to come to the gym. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat some food so that way I have a reason to come to the gym. So now I come to the gym with Frank. And it's like, you know what? You know, it's untraditional, but you know what? That's the way it is. I've been to this part of the zoo before. You know, I've seen the baboons, and you know what? I'm married to all of them.
Yeah, I've been to the treadmill part of the zoo before, okay? I've been there. I'm here right now. Look, I'm on the treadmill right now, just walking, not really going anywhere. It's like me and Frank, but you know what? I'm happy with it. So anybody who wants to question it all you want. Guess who's going to answer you? No one, because Dolores de Catania doesn't give a fuck, okay? How about that, Andy? And so Danielle's just shaking her head disgusted. I'm like, are you mad at the gym? Are you mad that she got fat? Are you mad? Like, there's so much that you could be mad and disgusted about right now. You need to be more specific.
Exactly. And so it does then start to move into a Dolores and Danielle segment. I mean, there was some other little chatter, but it goes into Dolores versus Danielle. And, you know, because the big controversy between the two of them is that Dolores feels like Danielle tried to sabotage her friendship with Teresa by saying that Dolores had called Teresa like money grubbing, etc. And so they have this weird controversy because apparently Dolores went over to Danielle's house and there was someone named Marty. Oh, Marty is Danielle's.
Danielle's.
And Marty
guy.
was coaching Frankie to get SAT scores up or French or some weird thing.
Oh,
right?
I thought they were going to help him with taxes or something. I don't know.
It was something with getting into college.
She was on her way over there. And so we found out that this whole conversation happened on the phone. She wasn't even there. And they're like, well, why were you talking on the phone? And she's like, well, Dolores was trying to get me caught up, you know, on what's going on in the show. And she starts like listing all the stuff that Dolores was telling her about everybody. And I was like, that sounds right. Like, they were trying to call her out on every little thing. But she's like, she said that Tree is still alive and nobody can believe it. She's like a cockroach with 30 lives. Jack is unmanageable, so they had to get rid of her. And she goes, oh, like I would say that about Jacqueline. Like, you almost left a trip last year because Jacqueline was unmanageable. So, yes.
Yeah. And well, it's funny because Danielle's side of the story is, yeah, you were coming over and you're talking shit about everyone. And Dolores' side of the story is, well, I was in traffic and Marty was on the phone. You were on speaker. I was trying to get through the traffic and I was just trying to get to you. I was trying to get the direction, the traffic. I was like, how is one person's version I was trying to get directions and the other version is you're talking shit about everyone? And somehow I can imagine it lining up. Like, I can imagine Dolores being like, oh, God, look at this asshole. This asshole just cut me off. And Danielle's like, wow, I can't believe she just called Melissa an asshole, you know?
Yeah, she's like, Teresa? Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, God, Jesus Christ, they keep pressing the brakes. God, they only care about money. They want me to hit him or something. She's like, she said that about Teresa. It's like, oh, and Jacqueline? Oh, God, red light. Red light, Frank. Red light. Like, oh my God, she's saying that Jacqueline was getting a red light and shouldn't be here anymore.
And let me tell you something else about Melissa Gorga. Wait, hold on one second. We got the easy pass going. Let's go through the easy pass. We'll go through faster. Oh my God, she's saying she's a slut, huh?
Dolores is also, what's her name? Is Dorinda sitting at home all proud? She's like, yeah, it travels.
Yeah, you know what, Andy, she even said that you need an alternate route. So I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound nice to me, Andy.
Well, if this was a court of law and we were a jury, I would start to believe Danielle right now. Because Dolores is just spitting things out that's like, what? Like when they showed the clip of her talking to Teresa, and she's like, you know what? If you believe her, you're crazy. By the way, I think she does something. Drugs? Drugs is something. And then she sips, and I'm like, you look guiltier now.
Yeah.
And then when she goes into all this stuff, she's like, you know, I was in traffic, and so that's what happened. I'm like, wait a minute. And then Danielle goes, I remember it was a speakerphone, and Marty heard it. And she goes, I can't even hear speakerphones. Like, speakerphones, they don't work for me. Like, I can't even hear, so I know that's
I don't even know
lie.
What a phone is. I don't know what a phone is. What is this device? Like, there's a thing. You mean to tell me there's, like, something you can talk into, and it actually your voice carries to someone else that's not there? I don't know, Danielle. I don't know. She's out of this mind, this one. You know what? I haven't met one person that likes you, by the way. I haven't met one person that likes you.
Drug okay, addict. Tupac.
Yeah.
Tupac. And then, Tupac was, I don't even know why I said that. It's because we talked about Vanderpump Rules, and now I have Kristen as Tupac on her Snapchat in my head. Yeah. Okay, sorry about that, everybody.
And Melissa's like, I don't like accusations that can't be proven. It's like, shut up, Melissa. So then so then there's the drug
thing.
Yeah,
but you don't like when people make accusations and then bring witnesses either, do you? Because remember, Kim D was like, she was a stripper. I brought her old boss and her original resume where she kissed it with her vagina. It's like, wait a minute. She's like, that's too much fake evidence. Like, make up your mind.
Yeah. So now Dolores is like, so Dolores, do you think that Danielle's not like on drugs? Like, well, you know, I think she might be on Xanax or something. I don't know. And Danielle's like, what are you talking about right now? What's going on right? She just starts getting like super Jersey-ish.
I have never done anything like that. You pointed your finger in my face. I mean, I know you don't like me, but shut the fuck up and stop calling me names. Like, she starts changing her voice 20 times in this.
I love when Danielle says, shut up and stop calling me names. And Dolores goes, oh, shut the fuck up, skank.
And then she goes, Teresa, this is why you threw a table at her head. Okay? This is why you threw that table at her head. Look at her. She's garbage.
Professional
okay?
victim, this one. Professional garbage. Welcome back, scumbag. Welcome back. Welcome back. So now it's like break time. And Danielle's furious. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with Dolores Catania. Never. Nothing anymore. Okay. She's just a fat bully. All right. Hey. Turn that off, please. Hey. Turn that off, please, right now.
I like when she's walking back, huffing and puffing, and she's like, you think you took down the wall down last time? You tore it down? I'm going to tear this whole goddamn set down. It's like, oh, no. Did someone tear a wall down last time? Because that is so Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Probably afterwards. Probably
it's just like a big cutout of Rosie crashing through the wall to come try and strangle Teresa. And Siggy's like Elma Fudd. That was
so
the
now,
Roadrunner, ma'am, but.
So now as this victory lap heads into the final, towards the finish line here, we get into the big Italy trip. And Andy, I love this line. Andy goes, we've addressed a lot of touchy subjects on The Real Housewives, but Hitler is a first. I was like, standing ovation. This is, it's just, the fact that he has to say that line is so funny. I mean, it's just,
he's it's like, so, I heard you, Jezebel. I heard you saying we don't cover new ground anymore. Have you ever heard of Hitler? All right, then. We did it.
So what went through Marge's head when she made the Hitler comment? Marge explains it very, very clearly. I mean, she's basically like, I was saying that, you know, if someone who's totally evil is nice to me, it doesn't negate the fact that they are totally evil, you know, like that you're complicit with them. You're complicit with their evilness, you know?
Yeah. And she's like, it was a very general term, Andy, about not being complicit. Okay. I'm not calling Kim D literally Hitler. Okay. Like, does anybody really think I'm calling Kim D Hitler? I really like that girl. Like, would Hitler have a fundraiser for anybody?
I mean, she's like Mussolini at best. Let's be honest. Mussolini at best. Honestly, like, maybe not even Mussolini. Maybe probably like one of those like forgotten, like awful people, like Milosevic or something like that. You know, like someone, I don't know. Like, yeah, you know, it's just, it's classic much. Classic much. You know, I'm not only did I learn from Joan. Okay. I also learned from Tom Brokaw. He's a very close friend of mine. Okay. I remember current events. So
Dolores is like, Tom Brokaw? Well, why didn't you just say that? Why couldn't you just say it that way? Like, it's the most simple explanation ever. And then Marge goes, it's a very common comparison, what I did there. Okay.
Everyone compares people to Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay?
She didn't say she's offended that day. She didn't say it with the next week. She waited for Italy. Okay. And the Siggy goes, I festered about it.
Yeah. Siggy's like, this is Siggy's version. She's like, well, I was so shocked. And then I festered. Because the question is, why didn't Siggy say something right at that moment? She's like, well, I was shocked. And it festered. And it festered. And then in Italy, I very calmly said, dearest Margaret, as in from adult to adult, I was rather offended when you happened to mention Hitler. And as one mature lady to another, could you please not say that again? I'm like, bullshit. You did not act that calm. You didn't share your feelings. You exploded. You were crazy. You could have shot the bitch an email, a text. Like, you know what? I didn't like that you said Hitler. You know, you may not have meant it that way, but even hearing it to me is disgusting. I have Holocaust parents. Like, please just use a different analogy next time, which is what everyone told her. But Siggy's acting like she was the rational one here, and she wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, not even close. And then, and she's not even listening because Marge just said, what do you think I'm calling Kim D. Hitler? Like, she's not Hitler, okay? No, Joan would never even say that, okay? Joan would never say that. And then she goes, now what are you saying? The Kim D. is Hitler? Did Kim D. build concentration camps? And Teresa goes, we don't know. We don't know. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so now Teresa is saying Kim D. is Hitler, which is totally fine.
I think at that point, Teresa was overwhelmed because this was a very, very impassioned fight. I think actually justifiably so, because these are major accusations that Siggy was throwing around and she's not understanding it. So I think at that point, Teresa just, her system rebooted. And when her system rebooted, she goes, We don't know. It's like her default mechanism. Like
it's
default.
Like her two nightmares: concentration and camps. But in one phrase, she's just like, I gotta restart. That's not what I know.
Did Kim D build concentration camps? I mean, what a fucking literalist you are, Siggy. I mean, Siggy, we were rooting for you. We were all been rooting for you, Tyra Banks style. I've said it a million times. Ugh. Like, how could you be so obtuse? You're so obtuse, dude.
Gets even better because Andy goes, do you guys even know what anti-Semitic is? Which I think is my favorite question of all Housewives reunions ever.
She's like, it's so what seriously. I wash my floors with. No, that's...
It's that game we played in camps. It's concentration camps. He's like, no.
It means that you don't like playing The Sims. No, that's not what anti-Semitic means. So
it's a certain kind of concert they have in camps. So he's like, do you guys even know what an anti-Semitic is? And Melissa goes, yes. It's a hate group, right?
Oh, my God. So here's and then Siggy starts yelling at Marge. She's like, you do not hold yourself accountable for anything. And Marge goes, ow, 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 ow. I was like, oh, my God. She actually has transformed into Joan Rivers. Can we talk? Ow, 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 ow.
Ow, ow. So Melissa's like, look, I don't think that Siggy really thinks these things. Do you, Siggy? And she's like, I don't know, because it rolled pretty easily off of her tongue when she said Hitler. And Andy said, well, it rolled really easy off your tongue when you said anti-Semite. And she goes, like you just see her start to boil. And then Marge goes, yeah. And in anything I've ever said to you, anti-Semite is worse than Hitler. That's worse. And she goes, oh, anti-Semite is worse than Hitler. She's educated like a 2-year-old.
That's because anti-Semite is worse than Hitler. And then Siggy's like, would you believe this? And then Danielle's like, no, I support Marge. And that's when Siggy's like, oh, well, you support Marge. Well, Danielle, stop. Education of a 2-year-old. And so Danielle, in defense of her education, goes, my daughter graduated summa cum laude, okay? And I schooled that child all the way through. I'm like, well, like, listen, I'm not one to nitpick. Yes, I am. I love to nitpick. But listen, don't defend your education and then mispronounce summa cum laude. Yeah.
She's like, I'm summa cum loudly, okay? I'll go camel toe to camel toe. And Siggy's like, oh, I gotta go. I don't even know what they're talking about anymore. And she's like, God forbid. Everyone's gotta bow down to Siggy Flicker.
Yeah. Well, Danielle is like go, you know, she's going on. And then to the side, Siggy and Dolores are making these little comments like, oh, well, here she goes again. All right. So now she's going to talk. Would you believe this one? Oh, my God. This moron over here. Oh, my God. Yeah, this anti-Semite.
Like, to be honest. Oh, she's never been honest in her life. There she goes. Trash, garbage, garbage, trash, garbage, garbage.
She doesn't even know what that word means, to be honest. And she's like, shame on you. Shame on you.
And then she goes, who did Andy say this to? He goes, to Danielle. He goes, hey, Danielle, remember when you flipped out at that table? It just seems like you were being, maybe like you felt like you were being, I don't know, marginalized. What up with that? What were you feeling marginalized? And Danielle's like, that's it, Andy. That's exactly what I was feeling. Like, you don't know what marginalized is.
Yeah, exactly. I schooled my kids. So then now Siggy and Margaret are full on screaming now, okay? They're screaming. And Siggy's like, my father said Hitler's name should never be brought up unless you just get the wiggles. And Margaret is just laying into, you know, is this when Margaret starts saying these things about like, listen, I have children who are Jewish. My ex is Jewish. I know Jewish people. I love challah, okay? So don't you dare say I'm anti-Semitic. And they are screaming. And they're like blowing out the microphones. And you know what? I would be screaming too because, you know, it's – you don't make those accusations lightly. And you don't make them just because someone says the word Hitler. And it's an abuse of your Judaism. It's an abuse of that term. And Siggy – should know better, and shame on her, because she makes us all look like, you know, just super sensitive people. And I just want, for the record, to know I am Jewish and I own the game Secret Hitler. So there!
I am the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. And Marge goes, Andy, did you think it was anti-Semitic? And he's like, no. And Siggy goes, shame on you.
That's on you.
You're not Jewish. You didn't even convert. You're not Jewish. She's never said she's Jewish, Siggy. Like, listen for 2 seconds. And then Siggy's like, you're abrasive. You're negative, latrasive. And she's like, you know what? But anti-Semite is the worst thing ever said. It's the worst thing. So they're screaming. And Siggy goes, I don't care. Swallow it. Danielle's like putting her fist in her mouth. It's like, no, Danielle, not you. No one's talking to you, Danielle. Right.
I really take offense to Siggy saying, like, Margaret, she's not a Jew and therefore she can't understand. Like, don't do that. Okay. Like, you know, like, don't make it that it's like if you're a Jew, then, you know, it's reinforcing this notion that if you're a Jew, you hear the word Hitler and it's like, fuck you. Yeah. Okay, so if I see someone with a swastika, if I see people saying Hail Hitler as they walk around Charlottesville, Virginia, yeah, I'm offended. And I think a lot of people are. That to me is anti-Semitism. Mentioning Hitler, using him as the butt of a joke or using him as a comparison for evil, that's okay. That's called using the English language to prove a point about things, okay? So don't make it this like it's something that only Jews can understand, because everyone can understand anti-Semitism. And don't make it a thing that, like, anytime we hear Hitler, we're immediately triggered. It's so wrong. That's more offensive to me as a Jew than anything that Marge ever said. Marge didn't even say anything remotely offensive. And even you could tell Andy was, you know, Andy was feeling a certain sort of way, because he like turned and he was like, listen, I gotta say, I wasn't offended, and I even called my parents, and they weren't offended. And that's when Siggy's like, yeah, don't bring him up in casual conversation. End of story. Well,
what
sure,
you
like maybe.
What you feel, I don't give a shit. And he goes, okay. So, Danielle, are you glad you came back? Bye. Bye now.
Bye. Yeah, maybe you don't bring him up in casual conversation. Like, you know, I kind of agree with what Hitler did. Like, yeah, maybe that's not the sort of casual conversation you want to hear Hitler in. But I actually just think these were the hysterics of someone who wanted to have a moment, wanted to be mad about something, was looking for attention, because even her dad wasn't that upset. And on top of that, when she's saying, well, my dad said it should never be brought up, like whatever, that's because he doesn't even get the right information. She filters it in all wrong, which is what Marge also says.
Well, he wasn't upset at all. He's like, you can't just say she's anti-Semitic. You can't do that.
But Siggy presented Marge to him as if lips, right, as if Marge were saying, like, you know what, like, you know what, here's actually, I'm sorry, here's what Siggy heard. Siggy heard Marge saying that Kim D is Hitler, and that's why she got triggered. But was she, and Marge is trying to explain, I'm not saying Kim D is Hitler. I'm saying when someone is bad, you know, and I'm using the most extreme version to prove my point, but, you know.
I think she didn't even get triggered. I think she waited and waited to find another reason to fight with her, because she was right. It was 2 weeks later that it took her, that she decided that she was so mad about hearing the word Hitler. Like, it makes no sense. It makes no sense to anybody on the show, off the show, that we've talked to, that we've talked about. Like, it makes no sense to anybody. She's obviously just trying to find something to fight about. And, what was I going to say? I was just, as a Gentile, don't worry, I don't think anybody's looking at Siggy being like, "Ugh, it's the Jews again."
You would be surprised. You would be there. I mean, I hate to be sort of Siggy-ish. There is for sure a strain of anti-Semitism that exists in the country. I'm not saying everyone's anti-Semitic by any means.
Not there.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, you know, but you know how it is. I mean, you're gay, so you are part of a minority group, essentially. And you know how it is. I guess, there are people, there are idiots out there who will look at one representative of a group and be like, oh, see, this confirms all my suspicions and stereotypes about this group. I think a lot of people are not like that. But it's a little shocking to me about how much of that still exists regarding Jews in America. It really does exist. And it's sad. And, you still could catch someone, if people don't know I'm Jewish, you could catch someone who says something like, oh, don't Jew me or whatever. Like, it's not, I think anti-Semitism in America, it's not as nasty and pervasive as, anti-gay stuff or anti-black stuff or, racism, but it exists. And,
well, I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
I'm just saying that's
quite a burden to carry, the Siggy, because, like, Siggy, oh my God.
Yeah, well, I like to think that no anti-Semites actually even watch Bravo, because that's what I like to think. Because I just assume they're also homophobes.
Yeah, girl, I don't know why. You never know.
I don't know why. I'll judge them by their covers, but they can't judge me. So, but anyway, so then the show sort of like it settles in the last segment for the champagne glasses are out. Andy's like, oh, let's do the rose and the thorn, just like Real Housewives of New York City. So he goes around and asks everyone, what was their best moment and what was their worst moment?
And Siggy's like, pellets were my best moment. Marge was my worst. And Dolores is like, my worst is that my friendship with Tree was questioned. Frankie got pasta on the countertop. And then the best is that
Frank finished the chair. Frank finished making the chair.
And I finally got that pasta cleaned off the countertop. So there we go. And Margaret was like, true bonds with ladies. Joan Rivers. I'm thankful to have a daughter as wonderful as Melissa, because she's great. Classic Joan. Classic Joan would say that. And the worst,
having Margo. Well, two things are the worst. First thing that was the worst was the fighting with Siggy. It just took over everything. Second thing that was the worst was the time my oven broke. But my other best was when Margo showed up and fixed it, and we were able to have, little mini hot dogs for everyone. So it was actually a wonderful party. Yeah, it was great. Classic munch.
And Andy just tries to like get more water out of that one. He's like, so do you think you two are just not meant to be friends? I'm like, this is the rose and thorn. Stop asking questions. Yeah. And Marge is like, well, Andy, the things that she said, they're real. But I like to move forward. You know what I say? You know what moves forward? Whales. Even whales. They're like, I'm done with this. I've eaten like 1,000 fish in one bite. I'm going to go to a different part of the ocean now. You know what I mean? So like, if she wants to come back into my ocean, that's great. We'll just avoid the harpoons together. What can I say?
And so, but you know what doesn't move forward? You know what doesn't move forward? Little veals, because they're locked down. Okay, little veals.
They
little
drown.
Veals. Think about the little
they're
veals.
Trying to confront a whale, and they're in an aluminum cage under the water. So, like, what are they supposed to do? What about the baby veal?
What about the baby veals? Okay, what about the baby veals?
So Siggy goes, everything in life is about timing. Speaking of, I'm more like Joan Rivers. I don't bounce back. It's like, what? That's Joan Rivers was like the best at bouncing back. I mean, granted, she's not bounced back now, but she literally had to die to not bounce back. It's the first time Joan has not bounced back. And Siggy's like, I don't forget things easily. Oh, Siggy, you're really not selling any tickets to your self-help seminars. Yeah. She's like, here's what I believe. Don't forgive. Don't forget. Know your worth.
And then basically, and Teresa was like, yeah, the worst is my mom dying. Obviously, the best is watching my daughters, blah, whatever. And then a cake comes out, and it's a replica of the original cake. And it's like, oh, the cake. And they're like, we're going to eat it. Andy actually gets down and he serves it to everyone, which was really cute. And then they're all eating it. And of course, Teresa starts to rub her piece on Andy's face. But the combination of either Andy's makeup or whatever was in this cake, it wouldn't smear on his face. It's like one crumb was left. You know, this baker was like, they're not going to fuck up my cake this time.
Yeah, no. It's all plastic it's this time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's made of Teflon. Or that's what's on Andy. I don't know.
And he's like, hey, guys, let them eat cake, right? I'm like, awkward. What an awkward. Didn't they, like, burn her ass at the stake or whatever? Yeah. So then Siggy's like, let's not throw it. And Teresa's like, can I lick that off your face, Andy? I'm horny because I'm not having to found my husband. It's like, okay. Roll it up.
Oh, my goodness. That was. See, that to me is a great reunion because it was two episodes long and it was just like full of good stuff. No reason to stretch it out to three. You know, this was perfect. I thought it was a great comeback season for New Jersey. And I'm hoping that the ratings were better because I noticed that they're getting a Secrets Revealed next week, which I always feel like is a good sign. If they want to stretch out a season, an extra episode, I feel like that's a good sign. Otherwise, they'd kill it.
Yeah. Well, I think now it's time to move over to the Crappin's Mailbag.
Oh, my God. Crappin's Mailbag. So this was a long episode. So we'll only do like one question this week. I'm sorry. Why don't we have Lola Del Rio, one of our classic listeners? Let's hear what she has to say or ask. Lola. Whatever. She says, my big complaint. When housewives pimp out their kids on camera for screen time but lose their wigs when the kids are discussed by anyone else, calling out a horrible child, Brielle, Ashley, all the Manzo and Keo kids, is as fair as calling out a cute kid like the one time Phaedra's kid told her that he'd always be her baby. Oh, my God. I'm going to cry instantly. That was the sweetest scene. So Lola continues. I totally get why Tamara's daughter is done with that relationship. See how I didn't use her name? Not that fucking hard, Tamara. That's funny, Lola. That was Lola saying that. Nobody wants to have a Mama Rose using you for attention. Keep them off screen if they're off limits. And those bitch-ass husbands, come on. They act like they didn't sign a contract for a few coins. Half of them, Deco, Terry, Simon, for example, forged signatures for 15 minutes of fame for themselves, allegedly in my brain. So that was Lola. She just was ranting. She doesn't have a question. I agree 100%. I think... Well, first of all, you want to talk about trigger. We're talking about Hitler as a trigger. This whole thing about, like, you can't mention a child, even in the context of, like, hey, I bought your kid a sock. Keep my kid's name out of your mouth. People need to relax.
Well, the children that she mentioned were, like, the grown children. I think maybe if you're, like, your baby's ugly or something like that, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think if your child is old enough to go on Snapchat and call somebody out for roaches, then they're old enough to get dragged. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'll do another one because that one wasn't really a question. It was just a really good rant. Hava Weber asks, could you please inform us of Carrie from Married to Medicine season one and what personal struggles she is currently going through? Please and thank you. Well, I think we all remember Carrie from season one of Married to Medicine. Duncan and I have been going through 20 years of struggles. You don't know what struggles we've been going through. I have had a hangnail since 1987, and it has not gone away, even though Duncan is a doctor. I have not gotten it fixed. It is very difficult for me at this moment.
I try to get in with Duncan. Sometimes we'll go get donuts. Sometimes I tell him, don't look behind. Get it, Duncan? Duncan is tiring of the Duncan jokes, but we're still together.
There have been quite a few tense arguments with Duncan. I have struggled for the past 20 years with having a normal argument. It's not something I can do. That's why I had to leave the show. Too much of Toya and Quad. But I try. I try hard.
God, also, I miss her.
I have a rash. Yes, sorry.
Also, I'm a doctor's wife, so I have a rash. What was her big fight at the end of the of all of that?
So let's see. I think she started off as friends with Mariah, and then she really hated Quad, and she, well, something like that, or she hated Toy, or she became friends with Toy at the end. She just was snooty, and I actually think I really liked having Carrie on the show because she was highfalutin and she was up her own ass, and it was a great counterpoint to all the other women. And I don't know, I thought she was hilarious in the context of all these women. This is like this snooty white British woman in the middle of like these black women. It was a culture clash, and it was funny. It was funny to me, and I think she was ridiculous. Yeah. I wish she would have come back, but I bet her husband was like, you can't do this show anymore because you are coming off as an idiot.
She was, but, too. Oh, my God. That season one, Married to Medicine. What a classic.
That was a classic. Yeah, she was a big idiot, but I love her. Anyway, let's wrap it up for the week. We've had a long week. We're still waking up from Boston, our Boston thing. We're dealing with a Boston hangover still. So let's go into the weekend and get some sleep and come back fresh for next week when we have the Golden Crappies, our live show.
Great time. I'm so excited for the Crappies. We're so excited for next week, and we will see you then, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.